Okay, I'd like, before the Yom HaNoraim, to talk a little about the davening in Yom HaNoraim, but really, I'd like to talk about a shaila and then try to give you an appreciation for what's to come. Rosh Hashanah, I always wondered, I'm sure you always wondered, about making personal bakashas in Shemayne Esrei. We love bakashas that we want to make, personal requests from the Rabbi Nishalayim. And if we understand that on this day, everything in the whole year is up kapaskind, so the bakashas that people think of should have a place in the Shemayne Esrei, should be a place to be mevakesh. I think most people would daven for money and for money. It seems to be the first thing everyone's talking about. Miyani, miyayasher. Maybe some people would daven for matzlach in the learning or other important things for health and shidduchim. So the question is, it's a serious question. Where on Rosh Hashanah, where and when does that belong? So Rosh Hashanah Zalman writes that in the Lakai Nitzar, at the end of a Lakai Nitzar, just like you ask Bakashas all year round, so you're allowed to ask Bakashas on Rosh Hashanah as well.
Before Yul Ratzon?
Before Yul Ratzon. After Yul Ratzon, before Yisr Shalom. After the second Yul Ratzon, before Yisr Shalom. So he says you can add your own Bakashas. So that is wonderful. We have a Pesach. And then he writes, Afal Pikein, I tell me them that they shouldn't do it. So to me, that's an extremely confusing thing. I thought this is a Sefer Shalmei Mayid, Shlomo Zalman's Psakim on Inyanei HaMayid. And he says, this is what he says. He says, you're allowed to ask, and you could ask. Afal Pikein, I tell my Talmidim not to ask. Rosh Hashanah, don't ask. So to me, it's confusing. I don't understand what the downside of asking is, what the upside is, why Chazal didn't put it in. You're allowed to put it in. I'd like to talk a little about davening in general and come back to a Havana, something with which we can approach Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin. There's another issue that's confusing to me. What's confusing to me is when you daven, it's a maila to raise your voice when you daven. It's a sarin to raise your voice. Well, tzaka is a good thing, it's not a good thing. I'm not asking what you're going to do. I'm just asking you in the lomdis, you learn shas, so what do you learn? Davening with a raised voice is better, or davening quietly is better?
Maybe it's more common.
Both, assuming both are equal. It's better to do with a raised voice or with a shtelet, which is better? The Amashmoisin in Shas, both ways, it's extremely confusing. The Gemara says, Dalid Dvarim Mekarim Gzardine Shaladam. Four things rip up a Gzardin of a person. Tzedaka, Tzaaka, Shine Hashem, Vishine Maisa. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tzayin, four things rip up Gzardin. Tzedaka, Tzaaka, Shine Hashem v'shine Ma'aseh. The Marsha says that the pizmain that we all say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Tshuva Tefilo Tzedaka Ma'avir Nesrei Agzeira, comes from this Gemara. Tshuva Tefilo Tzedaka. That's Shine Ma'aseh is Tshuva, and Tzaaka is Tefila, and Tshuva Tefilo Tzedaka. So the Gemara says Tzedaka, Tzaaka, Shine Hashem v'shine Ma'aseh. Shine Hashem, we're not going to change our name every year. So we don't mention it every year. But the other three, the Rasha says that's the marker. So it calls it tzaaka. It calls davening screaming, raising your voice. Tzaaka, no doubt, tzaaka means screaming. In the Gemara says also, in Daf Tzayin, Yafa tzaaka la'adam bein kaidim gzardin bein la'acher gzardin. That even though there's a gzardin, the Gemara means even if there's a chesima sadin in Yom Kippur, so the Gemara says tzaaka still helps. It helps something. Yafa tzaaka la'adam. It says tzaaka again. Lashon tzaaka. In Mitzrayim it says, Tzakas b'nei Yisrael b'ay lai. It says the Lashon of Tzaka. The Ramban there in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Mem Beis, says, Lo yotzu elo b'slus ha-tzaka. There are many places where it seems that tefillah in a raised voice is a mailah. On the other hand, we know when it comes to Shemoneh Esrei that Hamashmiya Kailai bitfilasei harizeh b'ktanei amuna. We know Shemoneh Esrei is quiet. They say it's halacha in Shemoneh Esrei. But the Gemara says in Brachas on Tav Chav Dalid, Hamashmiya Kailai bitfilasei harizeh b'ktanei amuna. And Rashi says, because when you scream, this is Rashi, Marek ilu harbayin shalai l'meina shemea b'lachash. If you scream, you like the Russian doesn't hear you. If you daven quietly, why are you screaming? For what are you screaming? So the Gemara in Brachis seems to say that you shouldn't. We know the Tefillah Chana, the Imadaberes Aliba, the pasuk says. But Chana was davening for children. She was davening. What does it mean? Aliba. It means she daven balachash. That's why Viachshava Eli the Shikaira. So she daven balachash. So balachash is a bigger mile. Find Be'el Yoah out in the Har HaKarmel. He makes fun of the Nevi'ei Abal. He says, Kiru b'kol godo. Ula yishma aleicha. Maybe your God is asleep. Scream louder. He ridicules the screaming. So in Chazal, there seems to be some sort of a contradiction, some sort of a stira, if tza'aka is better or lachash is better. Now, Reb Tzadik in Parshas Vaschana in the Pri Tzadik means a Mabit. The Mabit is from the 1500s, from the earliest Achrayim. And he says what we know, that a Tefillah Kavua is Balachash, a Shemina Esrei, which is a Tefillah Kavua, is Balachash. And Tefillah B'Shas Tzara, B'Yitzaku El Hashem B'Tzar Lohem, Tefillah B'Shas Tzara is better B'Koel Gadol. It's a Shas Tzara, and people say Tilim, they say B'Koel Gadol. And the Tefillah Kavua is Balachash, and the Tziv says the Chana, when she davened, stuck it into a Shemoneh Esrei. The Tziv says the Ikka Bakosha is in the middle of a Shemoneh Esrei, and when Chana was davening, she stuck it into a Shemoneh Esrei. And the Tziv says it many times. He says it there in the Gemara, and he says it in Al HaTorah, B'Chal Moshe, P'nei Hashem Elokav HaYomer, he says it was in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. But it doesn't answer the question. The question I'm not asking you is, what are the rules? The rules I know. We don't stress quietly. We say till and laugh. But in Shemayim, what works better? What's Payil? It's Payil better Balachash? So why don't we say till and do we scream? It's Payil better with screaming? So why do Chazal say Shemoneh Esrei is quiet? The underlying issue needs to be answered. And I'd like to suggest a Mahalach, which is a mahalach anyway, in understanding davening. And I hope that with this mahalach, you can come to your davening on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur with a better understanding of what you're trying to do. So I'm going to step back now, and I'd like to share with you an old klal regarding davening Shemoneh Esrei every day, an old rule, and then we'll come back and try to plug it into these two issues that I brought up. It's an old rule that every Shemoneh Esrei you daven every day is kailul two distinct purposes. There are two purposes that you daven. One we call bakoshas tzrachim. You ask for the things you need. You ask for what you need. Shemoneh Esrei is an opportunity. God says, come and ask. It's wonderful. But there's something else. Shemoneh Esrei is not just asking for what you need. If it's asking for what you need, why do you have to say all the middle brachas? It's not even normal. You go to a king, the king gives you an opportunity to petition him. You pick one thing, two things to ask for. You don't take the whole slew of things to ask for. In Bakashas Tzrachim, it wouldn't make sense to obligate me to daven for Parnasa and Refuah and Slachman. Maybe I don't feel I need it. Today I don't need it. I have enough Parnasa. I'm not worried about my Parnasa. I'm not worried about my Gezunt. Or atachayni lodem das. Most people are not so worried about their brains. Well, nobody makes a big fuss of atachayni lodem das. Why do you have to ask for brains? Everyone thinks he has enough brains.
The other guy.
The other guy, yeah. Okay. So why are we obligated to ask for everything? The answer is that when you daven Shemini Esrei, you're doing two things. There's bakasha tzrachim, but there's something else. We call it avoida. La'avdai b'chol levavchem. The Gemara says, "Eiz avoida she believe." That's davening. Your Shemini Esrei is avoida. What's avoida? What does it mean? It's avoida. Avoida is has nothing to do with needing things. Avoida means a recognition that everything comes from the Rabbi Nishalom. That I have to come on to Rabbi Nishalom for money. I have to go on to Rabbi Nishalom for gesund. I have to come on to Rabbi Nishalom, yeah, even for brains, for seichel. You have to come on to Rabbi Nishalom. It's an avoida to be makir that everything comes from God. Oh, that's something else. So now you know how to skip. If you skip, so you're messing up your avoida. The avoida has to be a complete avoida. In the Divrei Yoel on Parshas Lech Lecha, he writes, the Gemara says that Danshei Knesset HaGedolah made the Shemini Esrei, right? And by the Churban Bayis Sheni Shokhum, they forgot the order of the middle brachis, v'chazru v'yistam. And later on, they had the Sechazah to figure it out again. The Gemara goes through the Cheshbon. It's a Gemara. So everyone asked, how did they forget Shemini Esrei? Right? Everyone daven Shemini Esrei every day. So he says, this is said. There are two parts of Shemini Esrei. There's bakasha tzrachim, asking for stuff. If you ask for stuff, you don't have to ask for everything. And there's avoida. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, avoida was in the Beis HaMikdash. During the Bayis Sheni, you didn't have to ask for all the middle brachas. You choose what you want. You say the first three brachas, and you pick what you want in the middle brachas. You want to daven refuah, daven refuah. You want to daven for the kabashayva, daven kabashayva. Whatever you want, you daven for. So shokhum, during the time of the Binyan Bayis, the avoida was not in davening. Just bakasha tzrachim, you don't need all your middle brachas. When the Bayis Sheni was chariv, and the avoida reverted back to the Shemini Esrei, so then it went back to Chazru V'yistam. They had to figure out again the Seder of the middle brachas. This is the Sisai. The Sisai, over the years, we've used to answer many, many difficulties. I mentioned to you Shaila that came up with me. There's a nida in what to do if you're in the middle of Shemini Esrei and you don't remember which bracha you're up to. Well, Shemini Esrei, you don't remember which bracha you're up to. Ever happened to you? Ever happened to Shemini Esrei, you don't know what you're up to? The trick is to let your mouth keep on going. You think, you get stuck. No. Never happened to you? Moshe Rabbeinu asked me, you didn't know what you never happened to you. So it happened to me once, that I'm willing to admit. In 95 or 96, I had surgery. And I woke up in the next day in the hospital bed. I knew I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't going to Minyan. So I decided that I'll set my alarm and I'll daven Vesikin. No Minyan, at least let me daven Vesikin. So I did that. I set an alarm and I woke up to daven Vesikin, and I wasn't even allowed to sit up at the time. I had surgery on my leg and I was laying flat on my back and I was davening. And I was in Moshe Shemini Esrei. I was tired. I had surgery the day before and I was an oinus or a shaykeg. I wasn't amazed. Maybe it was foolish of me to daven that hour in the morning, but it was also in the summer, so Vesikin was about 5 o'clock. So middle of Shemini Esrei, I fell asleep. I fell asleep for a minute or two. I don't know how many minutes, but just a little bit. I didn't know what I was up to. I really didn't know what to do. So what did I do? There's only one thing to do. I called Rav Palm. I knew he was up at that hour. That was his. He always said that was his best Seder because no one bothered him. So I bothered him. I called. I said, "Oh, good morning, Rabbi. I'm in middle of Shemini Esrei." And I told him, what do I do? I don't know which brach I'm up to. I have the page of the Siddur in front of me. I know it's, I got to this, I didn't get to that. What do I do? So there's a machlokes, the chayodom and the stipler. What to do? Now the stipler is really not big enough to argue with the chayodom. But listen to this. The chayodom says that if you don't know what you're up to in Shemini Esrei, pick an example. Let's say you know you said Slach Lanu, and you don't know if you said Baruch Aleinu. So you're misupik about Reina and Rafaina. So the Chai Yadam says, you could only say what you know you didn't say. Whatever you misufik, you can't say. So start from the bracha you know you didn't say. Follow? Makes sense, right? Start from the bracha you know you didn't say, and go on. So the stipler in Mesechtes Brachos, I think it's Simeon Aleph, if I'm not mistaken, the stipler brings the Chai Yadam, and he says he has a kasha. He has such a good kasha, it's hard to know how to do l'maisa. Listen to this kasha, which you have to follow. It's a stipler. The halacha is, all the middle brachis are ma'akvin zu azu. If you skip one of the middle brachis, it's not Shmoneh Esrei. The halacha is, you must say all the middle brachis. If somebody davens a Shmoneh Esrei and he knows he skipped one, he has to daven again. Even if he did two out of order, he has to daven again. The whole Seder HaBrachis are ma'akvin zu azu. So this stipler says he doesn't understand the Chayyadah. The man's not sure if he said Re'ena and Rafa'ena. So now what's better? The Chai Adam says you have to start from the next bracha, because if you say those two brachas, you might have two brachas levatala. Re'ena and Rafa'ena will be brachas levatala. What's the kasha? That's just the opposite. If you start Borech Aleinu, you have two... If you go back to Re'ena, so you have two suffix brachas levatala. But if you start Borech Aleinu, you have 17 Safik Brachas Levatala. Because if you really didn't say it, let's say you really didn't say it, and you started Borech Aleinu, so then you have 17 Brachas Levatala. Those two you didn't say. But the other 17 are Levatala. So why take a risk on 17 Brachas? Assuming it's a 50-50 Shaila, you don't know if you said it or not, why are you taking a, better take a risk of two Brachas Levatala instead of 17 Brachas Levatala?
Shashi is what you stop. Your mouth wouldn't go any, you know, you have to
work. No, I don't know. I don't know where my mouth stopped. I remember saying Slach Lanu, I clapped. And I know I didn't say Baruch Aleinu, I didn't turn the page. So either these two, I don't know if my mouth said that. I don't know if they said that. I fell asleep at some point. I don't know. So the status kasha is a Gvaldika kasha. It sounds like it's just a mathematical equation where he got the Chai Adam. He caught him. The Adam sounds wrong. So Rav Palm told me, if you rely on the Chai Adam, you don't go wrong. That's what he said. Look, the Chai Adam paskins. The Chai Adam is a Pesik L'dairis. The stipler is a stipler, but not the Chai Adam. So that's what I remember. It's a vague memory. But I think he told me that lashon. If you do like the Chai Adam, you're not going wrong. So I did. I did like the Chai Adam. So I started from after.
After
Funk, I continued Shmoneh Esrei.
Talking to
Letzarech Shmoneh Esrei is good. I asked Rav Palm how he feels. You know, I just asked the Mishael. And the Mishael's not a hefsek. And then I finished Shmoneh Esrei, and I finished Shmoneh Esrei. So, I won't know the truth till I come upstairs. I hope it takes me till 120. And I'll ask him for a copy, a video of the Shmoneh Esrei, which I'm sure is not my proudest Shmoneh Esrei, but no idea what I said. But I resolved, I have to find the teretz of the stipler's kasha. No, I already rely on the Chai Adam, I have to find the teretz of the stipler's kasha. So I think the answer is this. That when we say middle brachas ha-ma'akiv, the ma'akiv in what? In the avodah dikadin of Shmoneh Esrei. It's ma'akiv that you're missing avodah. You have to daven again. You're missing the avodah dikadin. You're mechuyev to daven Shmoneh Esrei. There's bakashas tzrochim and avodah, both. If you're missing some middle brachas, you're missing... In the Avodah of Shmoneh Esrei, you have to daven again. But is it a bracha levatala? 17 brachas of atala? No. In the time of the Baal Sheni, they davened only 17 brachas, or 15, or 16, whatever they chose. If you daven and you miss some of the little brachas, you still have a Shmoneh Esrei, a bakashas tzrochim. There's a bakashas tzrochim dikah Shmoneh Esrei, and there's an Avodah dikah Shmoneh Esrei. They're both Shmoneh Esreis. It's not a bracha levatala if you're missing avoda. Why do you have to daven again? You know why you have to daven again? Because you didn't do an avoda. An avoda is to the entire Shmoneh Esrei. But it doesn't make it a bracha levatala because you missed some brachas. So it's a bakasha tzrochim dikah Shmoneh Esrei, the gara from a bayisheini Shmoneh Esrei. So it's not a bracha levatala. Chai Yadam says, look, If you're mekayim davoid of shemayin esrei, I don't know. But brachos levatala are more important. You can't put yourself in a situation of suffering brachos levatala.
So if you can daven again anyways, why don't you just stop?
No, I can't daven again because I'm a sufik if I have to daven again. So I can't daven a second shemayin esrei. If I know I missed, I daven a second. If I'm a sufik, so brachos lahakol. So you could do the davar b'tnai. Grada, the chaye odom says that b'zman hazeh we don't do tefillos nedavah because we're not sure we'll be able to have kavanah. Mishnah Berurah brings it in one place, another place he doesn't bring it. It's its own issue. But the chaye odom himself says that b'zman hazeh you can do tefillos nedavah. Tefillos nedavah needs kavanah in every word. There's kavanah in every word. Even tashlum. Even for a suffix tashlum. So at any rate, this is the shtickel Torah. It answers a host of other difficulties. There's another stipler. Stipler asks, you know, the Rambam says, if you didn't have Kavanah, Magen Avraham, the first bracha, you have to daven again. The Rambam says, if you didn't have Kavanah, the first bracha, you daven again. So the Torah says, B'sman Hazeh, we don't daven again, because the second time you bite, it won't have Kavanah. But the Ikra Din is, if you didn't have Kavanah in the first bracha, it's ma'akiv. We just don't daven again. So the stipler asks, and the truth is the Bir Alochi asked the kasha, that if so, if you're Milo Shmein Esrei, and you realize you don't have kavanah in the first bracha, you should sit down. It's not a Shmein Esrei. If you're not going in the first bracha, it's not a Shmein Esrei. You have daven again. So if you realize you don't have kavanah, you should just sit down, finished. Why? What's the hetter to finish the Shmein Esrei? If you know already you didn't have kavanah in Magen Avraham, what's the hetter to finish Shmein Esrei?
Then you can daven again.
You can't daven again.
Not again.
Because we don't daven a second time.
You never daven the first time. If you sit down in the middle and you don't finish the first Shemoneh, then you never daven.
But even if you do finish the first Shemoneh, you didn't daven. You have to daven again.
If you sit down in the middle of the first one, and so you didn't daven
Shemoneh. The stipler is saying, what's the difference?
Then you can daven.
But even if you finish your first Shemoneh, you still didn't daven Shemoneh.
Right, but then we don't daven over because you might not have to.
So why if you sit down, do you daven over?
Then why do you ever daven the first time?
So why, it's a good kasha. Why do you ever daven the first time?
So if you never
daven. You don't have a choice.
If you sit down in the first one, it's like you never daven, then you can daven the first
time. But what's in sitting and not sitting?
I'm saying if you don't.
All right, so if you're right, so you're adding to the kasha. You're right, you're adding to the kasha. So you sit down and daven again.
You still
Well, for that, you have to come on to Knech. The idea that Kavana is ma'akiv in davening, where do you find Kavana is ma'akiv? In benching, Kavana is ma'akiv. In Birch Zatayra, Kavana is ma'akiv. In Vidui Maestris, Kavana is ma'akiv. Kavana is not ma'akiv. In Shema, Kavana Salach Shemaim is ma'akiv. It's true. But Kavana and mitzvahs that are totally ba'miri, you generally don't find. You only find one place Kavanah is ma'akim, and that is where? No? By Karbanis, Zvachim, Zvachim da Beis Amad Aleph. The only place you find Kavanah is ma'akim is by Avoida. As a matter of fact, the Makar, that if you have Kavanah in the first bracha, it's enough. The Makar is Gemara Brachis. But it's like Avoida. By Avoida is the same thing. By Avoida, if you have Kavanah in the first Avoida, if you have Kavanah by Shechita, then Stama, the rest of the Avodah, is Ladas HaRishon. So it's very geschmack. The Avodah Dikedin of Shemayna Esrei needs Kavan. The Bakosha Tzrachim Dikedin of Shemayna Esrei doesn't need Kavan. So the Rambam says, if you didn't have Kavan, you have to daven again. Why? Avodah. Without Kavan, you're not Yotze Avodah. Does that mean the Shemayna Esrei is the Brachas of Atala? No. It's still a Bakosha Tzrachim Dikedin of Shemayna Esrei without the Din Avodah. It's still a Shemayna Esrei, it's not a Levatala. Why do you stand up and daven in the first place? Because the Bakash Tzrachim Shemayna Esrei you can have without Kavanah. It's no different than Birchas Hamazon. The extra aspect of Avaida, that needs Kavanah.
You should only do the Tzrachim you need.
If you want, you can do the Tzrachim you need. Anyway, the point with all the Shtikal Torah is that there are two aspects to davening. There's the Avaida aspect, and there's the Bakash Tzrachim Dik aspect. They're both chalokim in a person's davening. They're both emes, and they're both what we daven every time we daven. The difference between tzaaka and not tzaaka is in bakoshes tzrochim tzaaka is appropriate. By yamsuf, pasuk says in Nechemia they screamed at yamsuf. They were screaming. Why? Bakosha Tzrachim, Yitzhak Wal Hashem, Batzai Lahem. Bakosha Tzrachim, a davening, an avoda is a solemn, formal thing. You do it quietly. There's a story about a stolen chassid who found himself in Vienna on his way out of Europe after the war. Vienna is a Yekesha town. So he went over to the Rav in the shul and he asked him, you know, the stolen is screened by davening. So before davening, he asked the Rav, you know, but Yekesha's now screened during davening, you know, they're all proper. So he asked him, I hope you don't mind, you know, I screened by davening. So the Rav told him, not here. The meaning I'm welcome here is that you're quiet. So it came davening, they were davening. And this was right after the Holocaust, you know, right after the war. This Stossel was dying, he can't die now. Now finally, at some point in davening, he couldn't hold himself in. And he screamed out part of the davening. So afterwards, he went to ask Mechila from the Rav. And he said, okay, do it. So I said, I have no problem. So what do you mean you have no problem? He told me not to do it. He said, look, if you plan to scream, we have a kepeda. But if it hurts and you scream, so, you know, everybody screams when it hurts. You know, it's a different screaming. Two different screamings. So there are two aspects to davening. There's the bakasha tzrachim, where tzaka is appropriate. Yafa tzaka ben kaidim gzardin ben lacha gzardin. Someone's a gzardin against him, tzaka is a good thing. But the davening is still a davening. There's an avoid aspect of davening, and there's a bakasha tzrachim aspect. Comes Rosh Hashanah. We're not mevakish tzrachim Rosh Hashanah. The davening of Rosh Hashanah is an avodah to be mamlach the Rabbani Shalom. The whole tefillah is a tefillah of mamlachas Hashem. The davening is being mamlach the Rabbani Shalom. We say piyutim we say b'koyel gadol. But the davening, the Shemoneh Esrei, the davening is a formal davening. You want to be mevakish tzrachim, so there's a place. L'kayin etzar, there's a heta to be mevakish tzrachim. L'kayin etzar itself is a piyut, really. It's a safa. You want, you could be mevakish. But that's not what the day's about. That's not what the day's about. The day's about being mamlech to Rabbi Nishalom. You want to be mevakish, you can be mevakish, like the chassid in Vienna. It becomes a shein halten, you want to be mevakish, you're mevakish. Somebody who feels a good geshmakish men esrei, he feels the yayim adin, the mele, he'll be a mevakish. But it's not the plan. You don't plan to be mevakish. That's Chazal didn't do it. Didn't set up the shmen esrei that way. You don't set up the shmen esrei. The personal part of davening on Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Adin, it's personal. Personal, it's no bakasha tzrachim. Our avodah, certainly in our dar, our avodah is an avodah of kabbalus, of being mekabel things on ourselves. In avodas Hashem, you're mamlech the Rabbeinu Shalom, you worry about your needs. You have two needs. You have a need that you need money and gezunt and a shidduch and shalom bayis and all these things. And those are your needs. You have other needs. You have needs that in the coming year you should be a proper Eved Hashem. You should daven properly, you should learn properly, you should mekayim mitzvahs properly, you should fight the yetzaharas properly. It's all. So it comes to bakasha tzrachim. There are two parts to bakasha tzrachim. There's the what you want from God, and there's what God wants from you. Rav Palm was madrich us that growth comes from Kabbalah. Growth comes from focusing on something and being mekabel for the future. Right? From the last 30 years, whatever aspect of Avodas Hashem I grew in, I gained in, was all from being mekabel. Not every Kabbalah sticks. A Kabbalah, everything b'li neder. But anything that I could say I didn't do 30 years ago, I do today, it stuck, came because one Yom HaNoraim, one crucial time in my life, I was Makabal. A lot of my Kabbalahs fell away. A lot of them stuck. At a certain point, I was Makabal that it doesn't make sense that I should miss being Ma'av HaSedra every week. 2 years that I didn't make it. At a certain point, I was Makabal and I did it. The times that I didn't wash my machrayim in a period of my life, it was easy, I washed. It wasn't easy, I didn't wash. Now I do it naturally. It was a certain time, and Yom Nairam, that was makabel, that is what I'm going to do. Makabel, you're going to do it. The davening, the bakasha tzrachim of Yom Nairam, is not what you want from the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants from you. It's a bakasha that in the coming year you should be a better Eved Hashem. You want to find that in davening, you find that everywhere in davening. You find that everywhere in the davening. The idea of recognizing Malchus Hashem. That's the whole Rosh Hashanah davening, isn't that? It's a different bakasha srachim. It's a different approach to Rosh Hashanah. Now, the Yetzer Hara has his way with Kabbalists. The Yetzer Hara tells us to be makabel everything. You makabel everything, you makabel everything, you makabel nothing. It's always that way. It's always that way. The Yetzer Hara tells a person, you got to be... The Yetzer Hara can't tell you to be a Rosh, he tells you got to be a Tzaddik. So you got to be a Tzaddik, you're not a Tzaddik, so finished. Kabbalists are specific, and they're small, and the things you can do, the things you could keep. I try every Shabbos Shuvah to suggest Kabbalists and Shul. So I suggest 3 or 4 or 5, whatever's on my mind. So one year in my Kabbalists, I mentioned that you're supposed to be thinking of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim. In Shulchan Aruch it says, when you bench, you should cover the knife. If you have a knife on the table, you should cover it. So we should do it. Not because you go to Gan Eden, because you cover your knife. It's a statement of Yerushalayim. The Chazal were actually chayshid that a person who says, if an Yerushalayim Yer HaKadosh is going to feel the Tzar HaChorban so much, they may take a knife and hurt himself. I know it's not a chash by us, but Memela, there was such a minute to cover the knife when you bench, except on Shabbos and Yom Tov, on a weekday, to cover the knife. So among my Kabbalists, that's what I mentioned. So one wise guy in shul, he came over to me afterwards, he said, this year was great, covering the knife, that's the one I'll do. You know, be my messenger, my achreinim, coming on time to davening, you know, that's too hard. Covering the knife, that's a good one. That's what he told me. A year later, Shabbos Shuvah, I went over to the fellow, right before my drasha. I said, you have a kabbal covering the knife. Did you do it? Did you do it? Didn't do it. Didn't do it. So my drasha, I told the story while he was sitting there. I didn't mention his name. I said, you know, if he would have done it, if he would have gone through a year and just covered the knife every time he benched, he would have come to a next Rosh Hashanah, he would have felt good about it. He would have been ready to makabel something else. You're a makabel and you make it a just a routine in your life, you're ready to do more things. But if you can't be makabel anything, so here you go, it's all downhill. You know, it's all downhill. The Yetzer Hara gets hold of a person. The more distractions there are in life, the more... if a person doesn't stop and catch himself and do something, it's small things, so do small things. What you gotta do. So Shana is about, Yom Ne'eram is about doing things, undertaking things, with a Bli Neder and half of them don't have a Kiyum, even 3/4 don't have a Kiyum, but you have to be left with something that has a Kiyum, something that remains. I always don't understand the people who come to me. And b'zeh haloshen, I always have this. People come to me and they say, I was makabel last year. It lasted maybe a month or two and then it fell apart. Forget it, no more kabbalas. So I don't understand. What's so bad if every Rosh Hashanah you make a kabbalah and it lasts for 2 months? So terrible. I have this Davyayni fellow by us in shul who came and he told me after the Siyam HaShah, I said, 2 Siyam HaShahs in the go. I was so moved. I undertook to learn Davyayni and after brachas it fell apart. 7 years ago, again, I was so moved, I learned brachas, it fell apart. This year, forget it. So I said to him, what's so terrible? You learn brachas every 7 years. It's a bad thing to learn brachas every 7 years. It's a bad thing. Am I wrong? See, I'm a kabbal, so it doesn't last for, it lasts for a week, it lasts for a month. What's so terrible? No? It's an avodah, it's a different bakasha tzrachim. Shem Zaman is telling his Talmidim that your focus is wrong. You can ask whatever you want. You can ask whatever you want, but that's not where you're at. That's not where you're at. And the kind of tzar, when you're up to Yila Ratzin, you should say to Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I'm a Kabbal on myself. I'm a Kabbal on myself. This year I'm going to do such and such. And if there's a schus in it, so let it help me, whatever. Let it help me with whatever it is I need. I'll tell you, I in Shul, in the Mega Givas Olam, there's a school that I mentioned in Shul. And that somebody wants a shidduch, he should learn kedushin. Reb Chaim Brisker used to send people who wanted schoolers to the Biala Rebbe in Europe. Biala Rebbe said, you need parnasa, finish the bavas. And he meant all three bavas or one bava, I don't know. You want a shidduch, learn kedushin. But the mesechta, not the mishnayis. You know, the whole mesechta, learn the mesechta, make a siyum on the mesechta, it's a school. Every tzarech, he had a mesechta. I know somebody who had a very serious form of cancer. He went to Reb Chaim for a bracha. Reb Chaim told him, learn Hilchus Treifus. And he really undertook to learn Hilchus Treifus. From beginning to end, it happens to be his father was a sheikhet. His father was a sheikhet that brought lungs in the Rapam Shia to us, and the son, and Baruch Hashem, he should live and be well. He's doing nicely, but now he learns Hilchus Treifus all the time. So there's a school. So this school I mentioned, learning Kedushin in the shul. And wow, people are learning Kedushin. And there was more to it. There's one very Lebedika fellow in the shul who was groaning about not having a shidduch for a long time. He learned Kedushin, made a very public siyum, and he married the next girl he met. Whether it was psychosomatic or minashamayim, we can argue. But after that, you come to my shul, people are learning Kedushin. You want children themselves, for the children, you know, like, you have to learn every word. And so, yeah, Kabbalists work. They work 100% of the time, they don't work 100% of the time. They work sometime, yeah. But in a lifetime, someone who gets into the mode of being Makabal, a person gains, a person becomes better, becomes bigger. After I got married, the day after my chasana, I needed a shomer to go to Minyan. Who am I going to ask to go to Minyan? So my father, Allah Shalom, picked me up. And we went to Davul Minyan. So I noticed that my father was wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. My father never wore Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. So I asked him, you know, what happened? What's the Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin? So he said to me, I went through the war. I went through Auschwitz. I went through everything. I zeichet to marry off a child. I shouldn't be mekabel something for the Rabbeinu Shalom. So he went out. He got himself Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. From then on, he put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin until Seif Yamav. So I did the same. People ask me why my Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin has the initials Aleph Reish on it. It's not my initials. Because my father unfortunately passed away before my first son was married. He was married, I took my father's Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. No? So where did it come from? It comes from a Kabbalah. Something happened, you're a Kabbal. Once you get used to doing it, it works. It works. Not so hard. I'm not telling you to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Maybe when you marry off your first children. First child. But I'm telling you, it's a different life. If you live a life and it comes Yom HaNeirah and it comes a time, instead of asking what you need from the Rabbi Nishalaylam, talk about what the Rabbi Nishalaylam wants from you. And things the Kabbalist people can make, and they make them all B'li Nedam. He was scared of Nedarim. But everything B'li Nedam, but we're Makabal to try to do. Some things stick, some things don't stick. But if you don't try, nothing's going to stick. You get used to being mekabel and sticking to it and doing it, so hopefully it continues. So the kind of tzar on Rosh Hashanah, you all should ask bakashas. You say Rabbi Nishalaylam, Hayini mekabel al atzmi b'li neder, whatever it is you say. You say if there's any schus in this, it should be aimed for me that I should have this or that or a third thing, or all three. But do it and make yourself a person that in life is going uphill, is going someplace, is going somewhere. You'll say, at this rate, I have to live 200 years, you know, at this rate of a Kabbalist, you know. One year I was Makabal publicly, I said in Shul, that the one year when I used to go to Rabbi Yashiv Shiurim. So on Shabbos, somebody, it's interesting, they recognized me, I'm an American rabbi, so they let me sit near, they called me for the shiur to sit next to Rabbi Yashu, which was a chiddush that in Yerushalayim, anybody cares about American rabbis. And they weren't even asking me for money, you know, like. So they, as I sat there, so Milcha was there, I dam Milcha next to Rabbi Yashu. So Rabbi Yashu, at that stage in his life, was davening Shemayin Esra loud. There are those who hold, you have to dam Shemayin Esra, Shishmi Allah Oznai is your own ears, and he became hard of hearing. Whatever his cheshma was, he davened loud, and I was standing next to him, and it was hard for me to concentrate. You know, the God Lador is davening next to you out loud. I had a very hard time concentrating. So the next Shabbos, I resolved, I'll daven with him, Mila Babila. Rather, the next Shabbos, Rabbi Israel Arbach, Zalzayin Gesund, Rabbi Yashav's son-in-law, was there, and they gave him a seat closer to Rabbi Yashav than me. I wasn't insulted, you know, because he was related. So I gave him a seat. So I was Davish Manasseh with Rabbi Yashav. I noticed he was doing the same thing. When I demoed him, he demoed him. You know, like, I noticed Rabbi Yashav Shmein Esrei, anybody who saw him was a pretty quick Shmein Esrei. He damaged Shmein Esrei like you're talking to someone, like I'm talking to you, right? You talk pretty quickly. So imagine Rabbi Yashav understood he's talking to God. He damaged pretty fast Shmein Esrei. I noticed when he got to Hamazish Shchinasi Letziyain, he stopped and he said it slowly with Kavan. Hamazish Shchinasi Letziyain. So I undertook that B'li Neder, that those three words, that's my goal for the next year. Hamazish Shchinasi Letziyain, Hashav Kavan, Shmein Esrei. Now, at that rate, three words a year, it's going to take me a long time, you know, God should give me so much, so many years. It's true. I'll come to Rabbi Nishalai, and I'll tell him, look, Rabbi Nishalai, you give me more time, I would have made it, you know, three words a year. But you know something, it sticks. I remember every Shemayin Esrei now. I remember plenty of times. Especially somehow by Moedim, we wake up to bow down. So you just wake up a second earlier, you know, not so hard. What I'm telling you is the bakashas tzrachim of Yom Neiroim has to be what you can give God. You're really giving yourself, but what your Rosh Hashanah wants from you. You have to give it thought. You can't stand there Rosh Hashanah and figure out what your Kabbalah should be. You have to give it thought. You have to give it thought. You can't cut out the internet. Maybe you could cut out certain sites. It's good Kabbalah. It's a good Surmei Ra. Something. So let us hope that we should be Zaycha. Have a good year, yeah. But more, we should be zeichet to lift ourselves up. Because you have to lift ourselves up. We should be on a higher darga, at least for a period of time. After the Yom Neiroim, I've been Shabbos.